Well, we want to come back to the book of Genesis this morning. We're continuing our series in the life of Joseph. And we're in chapter 46, verse 30, please. Genesis chapter 46, and reading from verse number 30. We'll be reading through into chapter 47. We looked at these verses when we last looked at Joseph. But we just want to revisit some things this morning. Genesis 46, verse number 30, please. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle, that just means livestock, from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Into chapter 47. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob bless Pharaoh. We'll end at verse number 7, and we are, as ever, trusting the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. You'll learn that I'm someone who loves the Old Testament scriptures, and there's nothing I delight more than going through some of these Old Testament characters. It's because you can see so much in it, and so often when you open up the scriptures, and people are amazed at some of the things you can find written hundreds of years ago, right down in the depths of the Old Testament. Already we've been able to look at areas like temptation. I remember when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. We've looked at forgiveness. We've looked at full surrender. Remember letting the Benjamin go. And there are so many great and wonderful topics that you can find buried deep there in the Old Testament scriptures. Of course, we can't get carried away with this. We can't move too far away from the context and must always look at these things first and foremost in their context. But as I come to these few verses here and as I've been meditating upon them, what I want to talk about this morning is the Christian in the workplace. I want to talk about the believer's responsibility in the place of work. Jacob and his family are now in Egypt. Jacob has been reunited with Joseph, and the scene is set for Israel to settle down in Goshen, and there God was going to make of them a great nation. God was going to make of them a great people. Now, before I get into the subject this morning, I have some things I want to share with you from the scriptures as well. I want you once again to see a delightful type. We've done this many, many times because Joseph is a wonderful type of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go and show Pharaoh and say unto him. What's Joseph doing here? He's the mediator. He's the mediator between his brethren and the king. And so you can see Joseph is the mediator. Remember what's said of Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If you could see Pharaoh and all his pomp and position, and Joseph enters in on the behalf of these shepherds from Canaan. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 47. Again, I'm just throwing this out to you this morning for further meditation. Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they're in the land of Goshen. Notice that he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed. These shepherds are standing. I'm sure they didn't look too well. They'd come from Canaan. And here they're in the palace. And Joseph, remember, was the second highest in the land. They're in the presence of Pharaoh. But you know, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrew writer says this, for he, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus Christ is not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed to call you a brother or a sister in the Lord this morning. God forbid that we would ever be ashamed of him. God forbid that we would ever fail to take our stand for Jesus Christ. You see Christ, Joseph as a mediator here. You see he's not ashamed of the brethren. And of course you see the brethren are accepted. Not because of anything they have done themselves. They're accepted on Joseph's behalf. And of course you and I are accepted in the beloved. Look at verse 33 to 34. Joseph prepares the brethren. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Joseph tells them what to expect. And Joseph prepares them for what's round the corner. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ does? You know, you spend time with the Lord morning by morning, you'll be better prepared for what you meet that day. Someone once said, if you face Christ in the morning, you'll not be afraid of anything you face throughout the rest of the day. And you see, Joseph, like Christ here, is preparing them for the things that lies ahead. He's guiding them, he's directing them, and he's instructing them. You see, a delightful type. We could say other things. We could talk about a definitive test here as well, as five of Joseph's brethren stand before the king. Look at verse 5 and 6 of chapter 47. Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Goshen is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity. These are men of strength, men of ability, men of character. Look what he says, make them rulers, reward them. You know, again, thinking of Jesus Christ this morning, there's a day coming when we, you and I as believers, will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Men of activity. Those of us who are saved this morning who have been active for Jesus Christ, we'll be rewarded. That's what the scripture says. We're going to be rewarded. We'll see this morning, later on in the message, it may surprise you what you could be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ. But I just want to throw these things out for your meditation this morning. You see a delightful type. You see a definitive test here as well. You also see a dignitary's throne here. Look again at verses 2 and 3. You see these men and they're standing before the throne. They're standing before Pharaoh. What did they deserve? They deserved absolutely nothing. Did you notice that Joseph, look in verse 2, and he took some of his brethren, even five men. Do you notice there were five of them? Why five? Why not nine? Because there were nine brothers there. Well, if you take Benjamin, Simeon, there were 11. So why five? Is this just by chance? Or do we believe that numbers in Scripture are inspired? I believe they are. I believe you have to be careful. You can't get carried away with numbers. Some people read things into numbers and they make things up. But here you see the number five. You know, five in Scripture is representative. It speaks of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, grace is abundant. The first time you'll find the word abundant in Scripture, you'll find it on the fifth day. Already as we've been through the life of Joseph, you remember Benjamin was given five times more. Why five times more? Remember he was given five changes of raiment. And the number five, when you study the tabernacle, you'll see fives right throughout the tabernacle. Five speaks of grace. The number one is associated with God. There is one God. The number four is associated with the world. The four points of the compass. What is God coming to the world? That's grace. 1 + 4 = 5. Remember David, he had five small stones. It shows you that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is efficient. You remember the wee boy with the five barley loaves and the two small fishes. You know, five speaks of grace. Two is a number of witness. Here is a witness to the grace of God. The abundant supply that's in the grace of God. Five bleeding wounds you'll find in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, speaking of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are these men. They're standing before the throne. They have nothing to offer. They have nothing to plead. They deserve absolutely nothing. You know what they're doing? They're just standing at the throne of grace. And they've come They've come to obtain mercy and to find that grace to help in time of need. You know, throughout this week we've had we've had an exceptional week of prayer. And anyone who has been there will understand what I mean. There's been a real sense of the Lord's presence night by night as the people of God gathered around the throne of grace just to come and to make their wants and their requests made known unto God. What a wonderful thing it is to be at the throne of grace. You see the delightful type. Jesus Christ is the one we want to please. You see the definitive test. Our time spent in the workplace will be examined. I'm trying to tie this up this morning if I can. You see the dignitary throne. When you face difficulties at work, what can you do? You can come to the throne of grace. Then I want to talk this morning about our daily task. That's really what I want to talk about this morning. I want to take you from the throne of grace. I want to bring you from even thinking about the future, the judgment seat of Christ, and I want to bring you down to planet Earth. And I want you to come this morning and I want you to go to work. It's good to be here on the Lord's Day, to worship the Lord and to know the sense of the Lord's presence. But tomorrow is Monday morning and it's back to work for a lot of people. And you know, the Word of God is not a book that leaves you on a Sunday and leaves you to fend for yourself the rest of the week. This book is relevant for every circumstance and every situation that you will face. And it's certainly relevant when it comes to the workplace. I heard about a man who was looking at a job. And the workman said, look, I have very little work at the moment. And the man who wanted the job said, well, you'd be surprised how little work it'll take to do me. Now, he didn't get a job. But you know, that's how some people perhaps look at work. But I want you to look at these verses this morning as I apply them. We'll be going to some other scriptures. We'll do it as quickly as we can this morning. I want you to think of the type of work that they were doing. Look at verse 34 in chapter 46. That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle, even from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. And listen to this. Every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Shepherds were considered the lowest of the low. It's not known why. I was even reading about it this morning again, and no one really can give you a definitive answer. It could be that as shepherds in those days, and I stress in those days, if you have sheep, please don't be tackling me at the door, may have been associated with all sorts of immorality. It may be that shepherds were guilty of going into Egypt and doing some awful things, and therefore in Egypt the shepherds were looked upon as an abomination. It was looked as a low job, not a highly paid job, not a job where you'd certainly get a fancy title. And you know, in Paul's day, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there were some who were slaves, and they got saved, and they were still slaves. And some of them expected, now we're saved, surely the Lord will have a better job for me. Now that I'm saved, surely the Lord will have something better for me. There's so many other people and they're Christians and look at their jobs and look at how well they're looked after. And surely now that I'm saved, the Lord will have something for me. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Paul says because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to get a new occupation. But what it does mean, you get a new understanding and a new appreciation of your occupation. I'm not saying that you'll never change job. Of course, people can change job. Of course, there's nothing wrong with being promoted and trying to better yourself in the Lord's will. But Paul was speaking to believers who thought that because they were now saved, they should have a better job than the one that they were in. And maybe this morning, someone in the meeting is discontent with what they're doing. And maybe this morning you feel that the Lord should have something better for you. And maybe God just wants to speak to your heart this morning. And we'll see in a moment or two how important your work is. And how special it is. And maybe in a way you've never looked at before. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 21, and thou art thou called being a servant, care not for it. He says, you know, if you're saved and you're a slave, don't you worry about it. Don't you be anxious about it. You be content where you are. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. And this is the key. If God's with you, and if that's where God wants you, that's where you stay. Because that's the most important place for you to be. And maybe as you come in here this morning, you're thinking, I'm sick of my work. I'm fed up to the teeth with it. And surely God has something better for me. And maybe the Lord's saying to you this morning, you just be content where you're at. Because I have a work for you to do where you are. You see the type of work? They were shepherds. You see how you should treat your employers in these verses as well. Because as I think of Joseph, Joseph was second in command. Joseph could probably do whatever he wants and he would likely get away with it. But you know, he doesn't take that attitude. You see that in Genesis 46, verses 31 to 32. And Joseph said, I'm going to go and speak to Pharaoh for you. He shows Pharaoh the respect he deserves. He doesn't take him for granted. He doesn't just assume. He shows him the respect that our employers, our bosses, should have. And you know, this is teaching that runs right through Scripture, not just in the workplace. This is something we're taught when it comes to society. Romans 13, verse 1, Paul says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. What a word. That means that the government of the day, even if it's Sinn Féin, and if you know me, you'll know I have no love for Sinn Féin. Even if that's the government of the day, we as believers are supposed to respect the government and obey the laws of the land, unless it's contrary to this book, and then we're not bound. We ought to obey God rather than man. Now, that's not easy. But you know, it wasn't easy in Paul's day because Nero was the man in charge. And he thought nothing of getting a Christian and throwing him to the lions. And Paul's coming and teaching these believers, you're supposed to respect those in authority, and yet they would persecute Christians. Hard to understand. But you see, if there's not respect for authority in the land, what you get is anarchy. And you see, this works right through. It begins in the home. There must be respect in the home. God has an order in the home. The father is the head of the house. And God's order, when respected, the home will be orderly. And it'll be God-honoring. And it moves into the classroom, where there needs to be respect for the teacher and the principal. And then it moves into the workplace, where there has to be respect for those who are in authority in the workplace. And it's in society as well. There has to be respect for those who are in authority. And so you can see, if we don't have this, we have anarchy. Homes fall apart. Workplaces fall apart. The country falls apart. And so this is the teaching of Scripture. I want you to come to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not dealing with the country this morning. I just want to get you to the workplace. Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to see this. We'll do this in more detail, if the Lord wills, when we get to this chapter in Ephesians in our studies. But I just thought I'd bring this in this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 5. And Paul, of course, is speaking about a slave situation and the masters. And we can bring it into the work situation. This applies to our work and our bosses, if you like, this morning. And if you were a boss this morning, well, there's Scripture for you as well, but we're not going there this morning. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. We are to obey them. A Christian in a workplace, 9 a.m. should mean 9 a.m. 5 p.m. means 5 p.m. An 8-hour day means 8 hours work. That's what the Word of God would teach. And that's the responsibility on believers in the workplace. We are to be obedient to them that are masters. Again, notice it's masters according to the flesh. If they ask you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, you don't have to do it. You stand up for the Word of God. It's the same for a wife in the home. If the husband asks her to do something that goes against what she believes from the Word of God, she is not subject to her husband on that occasion. It's the same in the laws of the land. If they pass a law that the gospel can't be preached and refrained, I'll be here preaching the gospel. I'll be here preaching the gospel. Because God's Word says we're to preach the Word. And God's law overrules man's law. It's the same in the home and same in the workplace as well. But generally speaking, They are the masters according to the flesh. We are to be obedient to them with fear and trembling. Now, it's not the fear of the boss. That's not what Paul's talking about here. It's not the fear of the boss. It's a fear of dishonoring the Lord. It's respect and reverence for the Lord. Let me read on. In singleness of your heart, not with duplicity, not being two-faced, but having your heart in it. And notice the last three words, as unto Christ. And don't miss that, because that's what I want to get across this morning. Wherever you are on a Monday morning, you could be at home washing the dishes. You can be in an office. You can be driving a lorry. You could even be a traffic warden. Yes, even traffic wardens could be saved. Hard to believe, isn't it? But you could be anything. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing it for Christ. There's no such thing as secular employment. I don't like people to talk about secular employment and then they give that up and they go to Bible college. Nonsense. You can serve the Lord in the workplace, and you are serving the Lord in the workplace. And whatever you do, you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Look at verse 6 in our reading. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Eye service means being eye slaves. You only work when somebody's looking at you. You know, if there's nobody looking at you, you do nothing. And if the supervisor or the employer comes round the corner, then you start to work. You're an eye slave. You're a slave to their eyes. But that's not how the Christian should be. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You and I will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for how we've served the Lord in our workplace. Do you ever think of it like that? You don't have to be in the pulpit to serve the Lord. You serve the Lord wherever you are, whatever you do. You're a servant of the Lord. And what you're doing it for Christ. What a difference that makes when we look at our employment like that. See what Paul's trying to get across to some of these people? Remember, they were slaves. The thought that surely Jesus has something better for me now that I'm saved. He says, look, if you realize that you're serving Christ there, that makes the workplace look different. You see, if you do something that's wrong, you're doing it against Christ in the workplace. It's not just the employer, it's the Lord that you and I are seeking to please. But what if the boss is an awful, terrible person? What if they're so despicable you just couldn't like them? This is what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And that word froward means those who have set their face against you. Let me put it into modern day language, those who are in your face. And Peter says, a Christian, even if they're in your face, there's to be that respect, that reverence, and that obedience in the workplace. And Peter goes on to give Christ as an example, said, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You see what's expected of the believer? Paul again said in 1 Timothy 6 verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. The teaching is that if we don't have a testimony in the workplace, the name and the teaching of the Lord is blasphemed. We make a mockery of it. I want to move on. We're back in Genesis chapter 47. You see the type of work. They were shepherds, but we see from other scriptures that no matter what we're doing, if that's what the Lord wants us, we're to be content. You see how we're to treat those who are in charge of us with respect and obedience. Let me say something about their toil. Because look at Genesis 47 verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they're in the land of Goshen." I just want you to see them coming out of Canaan. They've got all the livestock with them. They've got everything with them. You would know to look at them, they're people who are ready to work. The Christian in the workplace should be one of the best employees that an employer has. Because they'll work. They'll do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. See the toil? Look at the truth. Look what Joseph said in verse 31 and 32 of Genesis 46. Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, "I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which are in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have." You know what Joseph's going to be? He's going to be honest with Pharaoh. And he instructs the men to be honest with Pharaoh. And look at the response in Genesis 47, verse 3. "And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation?" Remember, shepherds are an abomination. "And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds." They're honest. The Christian should be honest in the workplace. Paul's teaching in this is found in Titus 2. Let me read it to you this morning. "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again." That means not trying to thwart the company's plans. Not being awkward. You know, if you're told to do something, you do the opposite just to be awkward about it. The Christian is not supposed to do that. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, not purloining. In the original, it simply means stealing. That's how it is. We're not supposed to steal or pilfer from our employers. But showing all fidelity, that's trustworthiness. And then he goes on to say that they might adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. How important it is for you and I in the workplace to be what the Lord wants us to be. You see the type of work, you see how to treat those who are in authority, you see the toil, they were good workers, you see the truth. Then I want you to see their testimony as well, and I think this is important. Look at Genesis 46 again, verses 23 to 24. Remember, we don't have to read it. We've read it a number of times already, but shepherds are an abomination. They're an abomination. And these men are standing and they're asked, "What's your occupation?" And they're happy to identify themselves something that's an abomination in Egypt. Egypt in Scripture speaks of the world. Remember, Israel were in Egypt and God brought them out of the world by the blood of the Lamb. Israel was in Egypt and God redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb. Speaks of the world. What's an abomination to the world? I'll tell you what's an abomination to the world. Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, just like these men stood up and said, "We're shepherds. We are identified with something that's an abomination in the world." As soon as you're in a new place of work, and this would apply to our young people, when you go to a new classroom, when you go to university, when you come to a new place of work, make sure early on, very early on, they know that you're a child of Jesus Christ. Make sure you tell them that you're saved. You're different. Because it will save you a lot of trouble and save you a lot of bother. You let them know that you love Jesus Christ. In fact, the shepherds may well have been an abomination because they offered some of the lambs as sacrifices. And remember, the lambs speak of Christ. And when you identify yourself with Christ, you're identifying yourself with one, as far as the world is concerned, is an abomination. But these five men, these brethren, were willing to be identified with Christ. And you make sure you identify with Christ and identify early. A young man was leaving a godly home situation. He was going to work with lumberjacks up in the mountains in the United States. The father was worried about him, concerned about him, prayed for him. And the young man came back 6 months later. And the dad says, "Well, how did you get on?" He says, "I got on well. They never found out I was a Christian." Would not be a terrible thing for no one to know where you work. For no one to know in your class. For no one to know in your university. In your technical college. That you're a child of God. A identify yourself with Christ. You see their association. I think you also see their separation. Look at, again, verse 34. That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our father, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. You see, they were going to be separate. There was not only association, there was separation. They were in Egypt, but they were not off Egypt. You and I are in the world, but we're not off the world. And there needs to be separation. There needs to be that time in the workplace when you say, no, I don't buy raffle tickets. There needs to be that time in the workplace when you say, no, I don't gamble. I was telling some of the friends recently about a fellow I know very well. He was a believer. He went through work one occasion to what they call a night at the races. And some of you may know what a night at the races is. I think it's a computer-generated thing, and you bet money on horses, basically. He says he put a one-pound bet down. Before he had finished gambling, he had lost £250,000. His businesses were gone. His family was torn apart. And it began with a one-pound bet. There's things you as a Christian have to say no to. And you have to take your stand and be separate. No to alcohol. No to gambling. No to the raffle tickets. No to the places they want to go to. It's not going to make you popular, but it's not popularity you want. You want to please the Lord. And that must come first. And what a testimony you would have. If there's that association, there's that separation. But then you know there's also glorification. Do you remember Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house? This is what it says. The blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And it says, for Joseph's sake. Because Potiphar employed Joseph, the Lord blessed them. And Joseph was a blessing to Potiphar and all his house. You know, we read here in verse number 7 about old Jacob, and I'm using him as an example here. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And what did Jacob do? He blessed Pharaoh. Became a blessing to Pharaoh. A child of God should be a blessing in the workplace. A blessing. How can we be a blessing in the workplace? We have to appreciate that God has placed us there. We should be good workers. We should respect authority. We should be honest in all our dealings and all our doings. We should associate ourselves with Christ. We should separate ourselves from worldly activities. And we'll be a blessing in the workplace. Are you a blessing this morning? Are you a blessing in the home? Are you a blessing in the workplace? Are you a blessing in this church? Gustave Dore was a famous French artist. He came to the customs a number of years ago when things just weren't as tight, but still there were some passport control. He had no passport with him. He said, I'm Gustave Dore. They said, a likely story. They handed him a sheet of paper and a few crayons. And he started to draw what was around them, and he handed it to them. And they said, well, only Gustave Dore could do that. You can go ahead. They knew by his work that he was exactly who he said he was. Do people know by your work that you are exactly who you say you are? A child of Jesus Christ. What sort of a picture is the Holy Spirit painting on this canvas? Do people see Christ in me? Do they see Christ in you? And not only on the Lord's Day, but on Monday morning when we turn up for work. Listen again to the words of Paul. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching of thy precious word. And Lord, we thank you for the practicalities of the word of God. Lord, we thank you that wherever we find ourselves, that thy word hasn't left us to our own devices. Lord, we thank you when we turn up for work on a Monday morning or whenever. Lord, that we have thy instructions. And Lord, whether we work at home, as a housewife, as a mother, Lord, it makes no difference. We thank you, Lord, for the instructions that you have given to us and left with us. And we pray, Lord, again, that we would hear what the Lord has to say this morning. Lord, maybe perchance there is some believer here this morning and they're struggling. They're struggling in the workplace. They're restless at the moment. It may be, Lord, that you want to move them elsewhere. But, O Heavenly Father, it may be that you want them to be content and to realize that they can serve the Lord where they are. And that's exactly where you want them to be. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. And Lord, you know all our needs. And may thy word find an abiding place in our hearts. Remember our young people. Lord, as they get to that age where they move to new schools and universities and new workplaces and new environments, and Lord, there's not the situation where mum and dad now make the decisions, they make their own decisions. Lord, give the young people in Rathfrieland the grace to identify themselves with one who may be an abomination in the world. But Lord, to us this morning, we can say he's altogether lovely. Oh Lord, bless your young people, protect them. Thank you for those who are going through the waters of baptism. And we pray, Lord, you'll take them on from strength to strength and bless them abundantly. And Lord, if there's any here not saved, oh Lord, we pray you'll save them. For we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Going to sing in closing for this part of the service from Songs of Victory, number 540. 540, when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. We'll sing just the first verse and the last verse with the chorus for the sake of time, standing to sing. Verses 1 and 4 of 540. With the chorus standing to sing. Thank you. Lord, we do pray that you will bless those who must leave us now. Keep your hand upon them. Grant them journey and mercies. Lord, as we gather around the Lord's table, Lord, even give us a fresh glimpse of the print of the nails in his hand. For we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.